Sego. Hello, everybody. My name is Stephen Bonspiel. I come from the community, Mohawk community of Gunnisadage, where I am currently the Grand Chief at that community. When I was approached to speak on the subject of private investment and relating to territory of Gunnisadage, I accepted without hesitation. However, when the day quickly approached, I was very busy back home, and next thing I knew that today was here. So I said, what am I going to say today? And I had spoken with some community members, my family, and on the issue of NioCan. It's been a while since I've been in that file, although I did start that work in my community. So what I was being told back home was, well, you lived through that experience from day one. Just speak about your experience. So I decided that's what I'm going to do today is speak about what I've been through relating to the NioCan mine at Gunnisadage. I should say the NioCan project at Gunnisadage. After listening to the two previous speakers, I can understand we have a lot in common with other countries. Here in Canada, you would find it hard to believe that those things happen, those situations where you have military enforcing the will of the government on native populations. But that happened in my community 16 years ago. Over private investment on Mohawk territory again, that at that time it was for a golf course. This time it's for a mining operation. The one thing that I feel has unified and always unified my community was the issue of land. When someone wants to encroach on our land or harm the land, the people tend to come together on those issues. Now, in this case here with NioCan, we work together with the local, our neighbors, as I would put it. There was the Union of Agricultural Producers. There was the Comité des Citoyens de Oka, the Comité des Citoyens de Lac des Deux Montagnes, who helped us a lot, as well as OSECOS, and some student environmental groups, one actually here from Concordia. I just can't remember their name right now. But we had a lot of help in order to delay the project, and that's all we've been doing. We have undertaken, at great cost to my community, mind you, to basically denounce the project, perform a counter-expertise study on the work that was performed by the NioCan company for their project. In total, my community has expended over $500,000 fighting this project. And I know that the company itself has spent over $10 million promoting the project and lobbying the government of Quebec, the provincial government, for their certificate d'autorisation, their authorization certificate to go ahead with the project. I think at this time I'm going to I did notes here, but I never get to them because I always just keep rambling on. But I would like to I guess you know a little bit about who I am and my community of Gunnisadage, so you'll better understand the context that I'm talking about when I speak of Gunnisadage. Many of you know or don't know of Gunnisadage, but it's a rather small community located about 65 kilometers northwest of here, of Montreal. We have been fighting through a succession of chiefs and community members, sustaining a 292-year battle for the return of our lands that have been taken from us. These lands are known as the Seigneury of the Lac des Deux Montagnes. This land originally constituted 260 square miles. Today, Gunnisadage constitutes about, I'd say, 5 square miles. That's what we've been reduced to. Since the arrival of the Seminary of Saint-Sulpice on our lands at Gunnisadage, we have struggled to maintain and our rights within our homeland. There are numerous examples of our people, my people, my ancestors, being jailed for the simple act of cutting wood on our land to build or heat their homes, being jailed for grazing their animals on our land. So we've been through many hardships, yet we've always maintained our identity. We have never surrendered our land. Today, Gunasadag is a strong and proud, vibrant community that's committed to ensuring a prosperous future for the next generations to come. And when we speak of the environment, we have a view that you're part of the world. You're not dominating it. You're part of the environment, such as the trees and rocks and the birds and the water. You're part of that system. So you have to respect that and realize there's an equilibrium to be had and not to dominate the world. It wasn't there for domination. It was there to live in, for your people to get along with all other parts of the universe equally and respectfully. So that's kind of the view that I've taken and that I've been instilled with coming from Gunasadag. And when this project, when I learned of this project, it was in December 2000. However, the mining company was drilling since 1996, doing test drilling. But in December of 2000, I was working as the director of the Gunasadag Cultural Center. And then I got a call from a local community member who asked me about my thoughts on the mining project slated on a road called St. Sophie Road. And I didn't know what to reply because I didn't know about the project. So the first step I did was I approached our local Mohawk council, and I asked if they knew of this project and what was going on. And they replied that they knew very little of the project, that the promoter never offered to come to Gunasadag and do a consultation with our community on the project. So on my own initiative, I looked a little bit further into the project. I checked out their website and literature that was coming out of the Union of Agricultural Producers, the UAP, and the Comité des Citoyens d'Oka, the CCO. After reviewing that material and doing a bit of my own research, I came to the conclusion that I personally wasn't in favor of this project. So I undertook in January 2001 to go further, and I wanted to ensure that the community's voice was heard on this issue. So I started a petition against the project. It was simple as that. And I took time from my own personal time and went door to door in my community. I got all the chiefs to sign at the time the petition. And I got over 350 community members, band members, to sign that petition as well against the project. So once I had completed that, I felt I had sufficient numbers to demonstrate that was the will of the community. I went back to the Mohawk Council, and I presented the petition to them. And that's basically what pushed them. I don't think they had an alternative, but that's what made them support the community position against the project. So from that moment on, the fight began, and there was a hearing of the Commission de la Protection Territoire Agricole du Québec, the CPTAQ. They were having a hearing in Longueuil. I believe it was in March of that year, 2001. And Niokan was there, asking for permission, for a permit to go ahead with their project. So I went back to Mohawk Council, and I asked if they're sending a chief there to voice the concerns and the position of the community. The reply was no, which kind of struck me, and I didn't expect that reply, but they said no, they weren't sending anybody. So on the instant, I jumped in my car and I drove to Longueuil, and I went into the room. I didn't know what to expect. I went into the hearing, and I presented myself as just a Mohawk from Gunasadag who, on the strength of a petition which I had with me, wanted to voice the concerns of my community that we were against this project, We were never consulted on the project. That the project basically was supposed to be taken on ancestral Mohawk lands, which they never had permission to do so from the people of my community. The lawyers, there's a whole bunch of them involved in this case. The mining company has deep, deep pockets, and the first thing their lawyers did was object to me being at this hearing, that I had no standing. However, I was giving standing in the process, and that's the first time I met representatives of the, actually sat down with representatives of the UAP and the Comité des Citoyens de Oka. And from that day forward, we started working together on how we could mobilize our respective populations to show that this project was not going to take place in our region. It wasn't soon after that my petition was made public, that or the community's petition was not was made public. I received a call from the president of the Niokan Corporation. He called my house, and I had no idea who he was, though, but he was calling my house, and he started berating me on the phone for starting a petition against his company, against the project. So I just hung up the phone, and from that moment, that's when I knew that I made the right decision to go forward. The CPTAQ gave a permit to Niokan over our objections as that of the UAP and the CCO. And then we appealed that decision. We appealed that decision to the Tribunal Administratif du Québec, the TAQ. We had estimated that it would take 5 days of hearings on the appeal process. However, Niokan kept introducing new data and new information and new reports into the process, doing this on purpose to prolong the TAC hearings. So it's very expensive to go there. We had estimated $100,000 to complete the TAC process of 5 days. It went on for 35 days of hearings. And Niokan, like I said, had deep pockets, and we went there, and it cost us a lot of money, a lot of time, but we were committed, and we're still committed today to stopping the project. From the TAC hearings, we had approached the federal and provincial governments, especially the government of Quebec, who was actually backing the project. So it was hard. It's hard to, as they say, to beat the devil when the court is in hell, and that's what we're facing every day in Gunnasadaq. So we met with the federal and provincial governments to ask them for help, financial and professional resources from their respective departments concerning the project. We were refused. We asked for a federal environmental assessment of the project. Then again, we were refused by Canada on that as well. So we undertook a counter-expertise study of our own. And basically, we took the existing Niokan study and we scrutinized it along with some original field work done by our assembled team of experts from the Montreal region. And we concluded that the project would have severe adverse effects on the water tables, underground and surface as well, and that the original estimate of the effects of the mining operations, which Niokan estimated would be half a kilometer to 1.2 kilometer radius from their pumping station, wasn't the case. It would be more precisely 3.5 to 4 kilometer radius effect on, and that basically would hit my community. In Gunnasadaq, we have roughly 450 homes. There's no aqueduct system in my community. It's all wells. Every home has its own well. So yes, we have band members who live within 2 kilometers of the proposed project, and we have the majority of us living within 5 kilometers of that project. So we're very concerned for the environment and the well-being of my community. So the local farmers were very concerned as well. They're living right there on the site. Our study also raised the concern of the increase in radon gas emissions and the contamination of wells with uranium. So it's also, people should know that the Gunnasadaq region is the or has one of the highest concentrations of radon gas in all of North America. And this mining operation would just keep increasing and increasing it. The environmental threat to our community and that of the surrounding population was too great to ignore. So we couldn't just sit back idly and watch it happen. We had to mobilize, and that's what we did. We pressured the government of Quebec, which gave two Bureau d'Audience Publique sur l'Environnement hearings on the case, one to address the issue of underground water effects and one to address the effect of the on the environment of the operation. So those two processes were done, one in 2003 and one in 2005. From the BAP hearings, it was concluded that the project could not go ahead as is because NioCan was in the data they were providing was all hypothetical. There was no real testing done. So the BAP basically said, go and do some real tests and come back and see us with your real data one day. And in fact, that's what NioCan is doing right now. They're redoing some field work. They're back in the region. They're not giving up, and neither are we. Some of our findings of our expertise study and that of the BAP process was that the wells would be, there was a high risk of contamination of wells, not only for our community, but the people of Oka and the farmers who live along Rang Saint-Sophie. The mining tailings would be swept over hundreds of kilometers, the depletion of underground water tables. NioCan was proposing to pump 3,500 gallons per minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to conduct their operations. The polluting of the Lake of Two Mountains and the Oka National Park by dumping an estimated minimum of 30 kilograms of uranium into the Grand Bay Basin. The increase in radon gas. And also, there was a lot of uncertainty of things that were not subject to analysis, such as the effects of radium, radon, polonium, and lead on the environment of the region and the population. Those things were never studied. So we were gravely concerned about that. The negative effects of this project far outweigh the positive gains. And as a society, well, we had to weigh the balance and determine if the effects are acceptable by the community, number one, and by nature, by our environment. And they weren't. NioCan never provided or revealed the applied methodology that led them to their estimates. It was extremely difficult for us to discuss their figures when we didn't know precisely how they came to get those figures. The field data was hypothetical, basically saying if we do this, this will happen. If we do that, this will happen. As an example, they said they would drill, their actual operations would drill to a depth of 500 meters. Their testing only, when they did their test, they only drilled 10 meters deep. So they weren't doing things that were realistic. And now they're going back to the drawing board. So other things that were revealed during the BAP hearings was that NioCan never revealed the numerical model of the groundwater flow because it was negative to their project. Everything we discovered that was negative was never revealed. As a promoter, they're certainly not going to say the negatives of their project. But there were many holes in their reports that were concluded by the BAP as well as our own counter-expertise study. To date, the project has not received its authorization certificate from the provincial environment minister. It used to be Minister Mulcair. Now they moved them and they put a new minister in, Bayshard or something like that. But the new minister has not given their certificate to go ahead with the project. NioCan has yet to consult Gunasadage on the project. In spite of the recent Supreme Court of Canada decision on Taku River, where consultation is a must, they haven't come to my community or approached the community on consultation at all. And what that shows to me, I think as has been said here by previous speakers, is there's an agenda out there against First Nations. That's what I firmly believe. Where our land base is slowly diminishing, and our rights are as well. They're attacking us every day, putting in new policies, new ways of doing business that have no regard for the rights of the certainly of the Mohawk people. They have shown no respect for the health of my community. And it's proven to me one thing, that the environment and the well-being of a community takes the back seat to economic gains of a private company. They don't care about people. They care about money. And I made that very clear to NioCan on many occasions, that at the end of the day, you can't eat money. That's basically what I've been telling them. So we're still working with our partners against this project. We're certainly against the exploitation and contamination of our lands. Our land claim is very real, and so is our resolve to stop this project. Previous to NioCan arriving in the region, there was a mine already in place there that was abandoned in the mid-70s called the Columbia Mine. And the region suffered greatly from that operation as well. And now we have another travesty going to happen in the same place. And it seems to me that people don't learn from their mistakes. I should say companies don't. And private investment certainly has no regard for the well-being of the individuals and the populations living there. It's always, a trade-off. Jobs, economy versus the environment. And for me, coming from a Mohawk community, we firmly believe in protecting the environment and being, as I said earlier, equal partners in that atmosphere. And if you treat one badly, it's going to come around, and at the end of the day, it's going to come and get you anyway. So, you know, we have to take the approach, as we've been doing in Gunnysadaga, as partnering with other groups in our community, and also from Montreal and, you know, the townships of Pointe Calumet and Saint-Joseph-du-Lac. All those small little communities have coming together to basically denounce the project. And for me, it has been a great learning experience. I knew nothing of mining prior to the year 2000. And I still feel I don't know much about mining. But I do know one thing. And I know when something is wrong, you don't promote it. You denounce it. And you stand up for your rights. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what my community's been doing. So thank you for your time. And, you know.